You know you're living in the country when you're headed to Mass at Bel Air Cove and there's a cow in the road. And had to call 911. Finally, we were able to get it into where it was supposed to go. And there once was a priest who had gotten up in the pulpit and he had a Band-Aid on his face. And so a man asked him after Mass why what happened. And he said, well, this morning I was shaving and I was focusing on my homily and I cut my face. And the man rather sarcastically said, next time, Father, focus on your face and cut the homily. So what is the duty of the prophet and the preacher? A few months ago when I was in Scott, I remember an altar server who was not hesitant to always tell me what he thought. As soon as I sat down after preaching, he said, Father, that was long, and now I'm tired. So what is the role of the prophet? What is the role of the preacher? It is to comfort those who are afflicted and to afflict those who are comforted. It is to break the hard heart and to heal the brokenhearted. It is to speak the truth and reveal that which is false. That is why it is not always profitable to be a prophet. It's not always profitable to be a prophet because sometimes you have to say the hard things, right? And that's what Jeremiah and Jesus experienced, as we saw in our readings today. Jeremiah was just 18 years old. He said, Lord, I'm not a good speaker. How can I do what you're asking me to do? And God said, I will provide for you. Because we know that if God brings you to it, he will see you through it, right? And he doesn't call those who are perfect. He perfects those that he calls, right? So God gives us the grace. But Jeremiah did have to suffer. When he predicted that Jerusalem was going to fall and they'd all be sent into slavery, they beat him up and threw him into a cell. But his prophecy came true. And then Jesus today, when he preaches a homily of 9 words, today the scripture passage is fulfilled in your hearing, they speak graciously about him, right? Ooh, he gave a short homily. That was great. Nine words. We're going to get out of here quick. But then they say, but we know who your father is. Your father is Joseph. He's nothing special. Who do you think you are? With all your fame coming back here to your hometown. And then Jesus says, ah, God in the time of Elijah had to go to the foreigners. Nobody in Israel was holy enough. Nobody had faith. So he went to the foreigners and in the time of Elisha as well. And so when he finished that, then they wanted to kill him. So from speaking gracious words about him, automatically they want to kill him. Now, nobody's tried to kill me here yet, so maybe I haven't been hard enough on you. I don't know. But it certainly has been a good experience for me. But how quickly things can change, right? And each and every one of you is called to be a prophet for the Lord. When you were baptized, you began to share in the threefold role of Jesus Christ, our Lord, priest, prophet, and king. The priest, what does he do? He offers sacrifice, right? So you offer the sacrifice of your life to the Lord. The king, what does he do? He serves, he governs in the way of the good shepherd. Whatever kind of responsibility God has given to you in your family life, in your work life, do it as the Lord would do it. The prophet is to preach by word, but mostly by example, because we all know our examples and our actions are speak louder than our words. St. Thomas Aquinas said, to teach in order to lead others to faith is the task of every preacher and of every believer. So we can have no Christian couch potatoes or no Christian pew potatoes, right? There's nobody that can be here just to receive. We all have to give and evangelize. St. Francis of Assisi once brought one of his fellow friars, a younger one, to this town, and he said, let's go preach in this town. So they walked through the gates of this town and went through it and out the backside. And they didn't say anything. And so the younger friar says, Francis, I thought you said we were going to preach. And he said, we did by our actions. Merely by our actions. They truly speak loudly. Now, one person who was called to be a prophet was St. John Bosco. His feast would be today if it weren't Sunday. And he lived in the 1800s in northern Italy around Turin. And he had a rough upbringing as a child, so he had a great compassion for street children. And so he, at the age of 9, very early on in his life, he had a dream. And in this dream, he saw all these kids in a field, and they were fighting. So he runs in there, and he's fighting to try to stop them, and he's shouting and everything. But a man dressed in a white robe comes to him and says, "You must do this with kindness and gentleness. This is how you will win them over." And so he felt like he had a calling from early on. And indeed, he became a priest and founded a religious order called the Salesians after St. Francis de Sales, so the Salesians, and a women's order as well. And he gathered street kids. This was in the time of industrialization, so there were a lot of people coming from the farmlands into the cities and not having jobs and all sorts of problems. And he gathered them, up to 800 boys at one time. And you can imagine, 800 boys can make some noise, right? And so the townspeople got upset with him, the big city of Turin, and eventually wanted to kill him. But he was always mysteriously protected. And as well, he had many of these kinds of visions from the Lord, but he was a great prophet and spoke the truth, and whether it was fun or not, he was able to do it. One of his best visions that I think is called the two columns or the two pillars. And he saw a navy battle, and there was one big ship, and on that ship there was a man dressed in white. And there were other smaller boats that were on his side. And then opposed to them were the enemies and their ships. And they had all sorts of powerful weapons and books as well. So obviously the books means heresy, false teachings, right? And this was in a time when a lot of people were saying things against God or against the church and so forth. Very anti-clerical, anti-church. And so the captain of the big ship invited those of the smaller boats to come for a conference, but immediately a big storm blew up, so they all had to go back to their ships. And then he called them for a second conference, and the battle started. They had to go back. And eventually he saw two pillars in this sea. And on top of the shorter one was a statue of our Blessed Mother, and it said, "Immaculate Virgin." And at the title of it, it said, "Help of Christians." And on the taller and more sturdier pillar, there was the Blessed Sacrament on the top, a host, consecrated host. And at the bottom, the title said, "Salvation of All Believers." And he knew, the captain of that ship, that he had to anchor that ship to those two pillars. They had hooks on them and anchors that he could attach and keep his boat safe in the stormy winds and waves and against the enemy. And so he successfully was able to get close to it. The man in white was wounded. He got back up. He was killed. And another man dressed in white took over and was able to secure the boat to those two pillars, along with all of those other boats connected with him. And I think we can certainly interpret that the man dressed in white is the Pope. And the two conferences, now he had this dream in 1862. The first conference was Vatican I, one of the councils of the church. That happened right in 1869. And it was cut short, like the first one with the first conference with a storm. It was cut short by the political situation going on in Italy. And then the second conference, closer to our own time, 1962 to 65, the Second Vatican Council, right? And so many great things have come from that. Who was the Pope that was wounded? Certainly John Paul II, 1981, in the Square of St. Peter's, May the 13th, Feast of Our Lady of Fatima. And that was one of the three secrets of Fatima, that the Pope would be wounded. Now, in this story, we know that the Pope died. So does that mean some future Pope? You can have different series of popes involved in here. And Pope Francis himself has said, "If they attack me, you know, if terrorists come to kill me, I hope they do it quickly because I'm a wimp for pain." So he's even spoken about it himself. But who knows what the future holds. But certainly John Paul II and Benedict and Francis have anchored us very well to this devotion to Mary and to our Lord Jesus in the Blessed Sacrament. And that's what we come here every Sunday to do, to give him praise and thanksgiving, to receive his strength and his power, transformation in our lives, so that we can be preachers of the gospel by our actions and, if necessary, by our words. Amen.